welcome to episode 29 of Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast.
Yay!
Take two.
I'm so excited.
I'm your host, Fred.
I'm the host, John.
Together, we form Voltron.
Yeah.
It's episode 29, John, the Ocho.
Dude,
I thought I'd bring it back.
You're not cheering me up.
John,
we exchanged gifts. This was the Christmas episode. In July.
That would indicate Catholicism.
No.
Is there another gift giving?
Christmas is secular.
Is there another gift giving holiday we can, like, Happy President's Day?
No, what do you call it? Chewbacca, the Wookiee Life Day.
Wookiee Life Day.
Yeah. We'll be right back with consult.com.
Why you haven't been doing it for a long time.
What is that even? It sounds like vaguely like I'm trying to do a bad like Asian person thing. But like,
we're gonna get to that in this show, by the way.
Yeah, dude, I've seen some of the YouTube clips of that, but you're just gonna put the same games every week.
I know.
It's gonna be awesome. I feel like you mentioned it one or twice and then you got Pop Smoke. But
John,
Fred,
you have things you're not allowed to talk about.
No, I mean, I'm just gonna say that they're happening, but you have things that you are allowed to talk about.
Yes. So let's start with the old. I finished Bastion.
Good. Great. Right.
Great game. Love it.
Don't
Absolutely
you see why it. People consider it probably the best Xbox game that came out last year?
I could fly with that.
What would you like better? We're saying Xbox ass Xbox game because that was not. That was an exclusive last year.
For a while, yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to lie and pretend like I played, like, the full gamut of Xbox games, and I really did like Gears 3. I mean,
yeah, I don't know where my copy is. I went to play some... I was like, you know, I could play some Gears DLC. I have no idea where I put it.
But, yeah, it was definitely... I mean, of the arcade titles, I think it's definitely the best one. But, I mean, I played it on Steam anyway. But, oh, by the way, that secret portal level... Mm-hmm. Is not a level. It's after you get New Game Plus, like after you beat it once, it's just an ability that you can get to summon a turret. That's all it is.
That sounds cool.
It's kind of cool, but, you know, once again, you have to New Game Plus, and I don't know how much of that I have in me.
Oh, let's put like a 1 minute spoiler tag down. Which ending did you choose?
I chose the one where I didn't restart. Like, you move on.
I did the same thing.
Okay.
Spoilers over.
I have reasons as to why, and I was torn a little bit as to which option to choose.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was a real tough decision. But yeah, that game's great. God, the soundtrack's great. The thing they do with the narrator is amazing.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how much studio time that narrator must have spent.
Dude, the game's only like 600 megs. I mean, it's not...
I know, but there's so much, like every instance
his
thing.
Voice is perfect too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But every instance moment
the kid wakes up
in the game, like, has multiple options. Like, each weapon combination has an option.
Yeah, you can keep doing the same shit over and over and it's not, yeah,
it's not always,
I never got a repeat.
I think I got one once when, you know,
of course you did, Fred.
Well, you know the Elseworlds, well, that you can go to when you like smoke the pipe or eat out of the
yeah when you get high as a motherfucker.
So for the first three you didn't get you didn't get a repeat because the third time it actually goes like third time's a charm, and that's how I recognized it. But then after that, how many can they record for that, right?
Yeah, good point. That's a god, the man, the music. I just can't get over the music's fantastic.
Music's amazing. So I was actually thinking about this. I love the game. Obviously, they want to capitalize on what they've created with that game, and a lot of people are already clamoring for a sequel.
I don't think they will.
I don't...
It's not...
Here's what I think.
Most indies aren't the kinds to do...
Right. I don't want... Well, it's Warner Brothers published it, so there's some money behind it.
They don't own the IP.
No, I know. But I don't want a sequel. I would like a spiritual successor to it, but I don't want a direct sequel of the story. The story is fine the way it is. Leave it ambiguous.
Yeah, and... I think the ambiguity is key to the effectiveness. I'm actually smoking a pipe right now.
Ew.
And waxing poetic.
Is
about
your name
fashion.
Chauncey?
Oof, I don't like that. I agree. I think that it's such a quick shot. Kind of it lends to it its quality. I think, you know, I probably would have said that about Portal, and I think Portal 2 is fantastic.
Right.
So we'll just see what happens. I'm sure whatever they do is going to be fantastic. Hopefully it's new IP.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that even if it's
for
a new
now,
IP...
sorry, I keep doing this. I'm such a bad friend.
A terrible friend. I was going to say, even if it's a new game in the same sort of Celandia-era world.
Oh, who's trying to out-pretense me?
Well, that's the name of the city. Whatever. It
could
be...
you were using just fancy words I didn't know. It could be... I'm going to take this out of the show. I'm not going to take this out of the show.
It could be a tie-in, is what I'm saying. It doesn't necessarily have to be completely detached from the Bastion universe that they've created. Because they have created a really rich
universe.
What's going on
down the ground?
Yeah, something. Just not... I don't want to know what happens to the kid and to the narrator. Like, move on from it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I really loved it. And now I want to talk about racism. So I'm still playing Deus Ex.
Of course you are.
I'm going to get through it. It's a pretty...
Do you have the DLC
game.
For it?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I think it's detached from the primary story.
Yeah, but you
though.
Probably should have picked it up when it was so cheap.
Well, I missed that. I didn't know how much I was going to like it, honestly. But...
It was $1.75 for the DLC.
I didn't know how much I was going to like
Dude,
it.
Dude, you're the problem with gaming.
All right, shut up. Oh, I'm the problem with gaming because I'm not buying it at $0 profit for anyone.
Well, it's actually pure profit at this point. Like, the thing with those sales and stuff, it's sales that otherwise they would not get. Yeah. And this is what pisses me off about the game you're going to talk about last or whatever, is that the DLC is still $10 for that, and I want to play it, but it's like a two-hour thing.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll talk about
anyway,
that in a bit.
Go ahead. Yeah, I've seen some clips of some racist-ass shit in Deus Ex.
So, yeah,
like, there's some racism against black people. You talk to a black woman, and
She talks jive.
She all talks like Mammy Jammy from the South.
So here, yeah, so that's in the first... City Hub is she's like a hobo that you used to use as an informant when you were a cop.
Oh, the lovable black Aunt Jemima hobo.
Right, and
God,
she,
I can't believe those words just came out of my
she
mouth.
She really is that stereotype. There things she say are like Lord and massa, you know, like without the massa. But
the thing, ooh.
Hey, no, we're talking about a real subject.
No, but that see the thing about that is like it's. I wonder because where did they develop this? This was developed Scandinavia somewhere, right?
Honestly don't know.
Anyway, I wonder if they knew that was racist. In the same way, did you see the movie The Help last year?
Yeah.
Like...
You mean that movie about a poor white woman's triumph against adversity?
Do you mean, like, Avatar in the 60s? Like I've no doubt in my mind that the people behind that movie, or in the... I haven't read the book, but the people behind that had the best of intentions. Like, I have no doubt that they absolutely went in there with the best intentions. What comes out the other end is really racist, dreck, as you or Will Gallego would say. Dreck. Gosh.
So, you know, I was at the point where I was kind of letting it go.
You're in China now.
I'm in China now. But before I was in China, it was just that one character, and I'm sitting there going like, all right, she's a cartoonish caricature. Maybe they did that for effect, right?
Does she have, like, glasses, Coke bottle glasses, like, buck teeth?
No,
oh, you're talking about
no.
the black woman.
Well, the black woman was actually tearing through a garbage can, though.
Is everybody in China have, like, the Coke bottle glasses, buck teeth, and go, aww?
No, they're actually, I would say they're a different Asian stereotype. For the most part, they're the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
I'm cool with that.
Right, they're the modern Asian stereotype.
That's
where
fine.
All they care about is fast cars and women and
yeah, who doesn't?
But it's the
How is this racist? I'm down with
well,
this.
Well, it's the voice acting.
Oh.
I understand that everyone is going to have sort of an accent, like... but everyone has the same affected like I don't want to impersonate it, but sort of like Bugs Bunny meets Emperor Hirohito sort of moment. And I don't like. I realize that it's kind of hard to do accents in video games without going like you have
unless
to go...
you get somebody who's fucking from that area. Like we're in advertising.
Yeah.
Like really it's not out usually in my lane, but occasionally catch them you know, doing people for VO. And, like, you know, straight up say, like, that sounds slightly too Asian. We need a slightly less Asian, but still Asian. Like, but none of it ever sounds fucking racist as fuck. It sounds like somebody with an accent.
Right. A lot of the stuff in this video game, the best way I can explain it, or at least the Chinese characters, sounds like Margaret Cho impersonating her grandparents.
Oh.
Right. I wonder if that's...
Nice deep cut.
Yeah.
Anybody remember when she had a television show?
Yes, yes.
A sitcom.
Which was also sort of racist.
That shit was on for like 4 or 5 years, yeah. Too.
And now everyone loves her because she's a lesbian, I guess. Right? I remember.
I don't know if that's why everybody loves her.
I remember when she.
Not to mention, I don't think everybody loves her.
I remember when she, in New York, you could actually go see her in like a club, like when she came to New York, and no problem. You could walk into the club, get a seat. Now she sells out like fucking arenas.
I don't. Are we talking about the same Margaret Cho?
Yes.
You mean Dane Cook. Okay, that's funny. You can just keep going. Whatever you're talking about.
But yeah, I mean, so I did radio for a little while back in college, and, you know, I was a communications
seriously?
Major.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously, I know.
No, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. So I was a communications major, and one of the things that they actually teach you when you're doing voiceover work is that you have to be a little bit more affected than you would normally speak so people can pick up on, like, the bit.
Oh, So you're saying, like, halfway through every episode where I turn to fucking marble mouth is probably a bad idea?
Yeah, no, it's probably a bad idea.
A bad idea? I'm trying to enunciate. Idea?
Idea? But yeah, you have to...
That's funny.
You have to over-pronunciate, you have to affect it, you have to become a little bit of a caricature, but there's a very fine line between being a little bit and crossing the line, and I think that there's definitely some points
in this game. It's the uncanny valley of the racist...
Yeah.
Impression.
And there's some points in this game where even I'm like, I'm glad I'm playing this with my headphones on and no one's watching.
Oh, man.
Also,
yeah.
the other side of it is the setting. I mean, it is dystopian future Asian city, but, like, the city hub is made up of, like, a nightclub that's all crime syndicate, a street that's just muggings. Basically, a street of poverty and mugging.
It's like an iPhone factory, a Chinese restaurant,
and a prostitution hotel.
I was going to say a sweatshop, but yeah, you went another way.
There's a prostitution hotel. There's a club that's run by the mob.
They're called brothels or prostitution hotel. Like, where do you piece those two words together? Because
that's basically what they call it.
You've never heard the word. That's like. Time bracelet. I'm looking at my watch right now for those without the video feed at home. I'm looking at my time bracelet.
You are looking at your time bracelet, though. I get that. But yeah,
I'm looking at my foot cotton.
Okay, so there's a...
That sucks.
There's a brothel disguised as a hotel. There's a nightclub that's run by the triads.
Let's think of other fun words for normal things.
There's a area that's just muggings, or as I like to say, money... takerings.
Oof.
No, it doesn't work.
Yep, bit's
and
over.
there's another hotel on the other side of town that's just
also prostitutes.
Pod rooms, you know, those rooms that are just a bed and like a shelf that they have in Japan.
God, I wish we had those in New York, and you could just get one for 2 hours and take a nap in the middle of the day.
Or own,
like,
one.
Why? You know, it'd be great if they
love to have one of those just to store my shit in New York, like have a place to go.
You know, there's Amazon lockers, right?
Or whatever. Not for a body.
Oh. Here's what they should, like, I wish my gym had sleeping pods.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can go, I'll go to New York sports clubs, I'll go there, I can climb in and take a nap for an hour, and, like, of course, like, you know, everything we have to, like, they'd have to, like, come up with some technology to fucking kill everything inside it before you get in there, because if, you know, germs and bed bugs, because fucking everybody ruins it for everybody else. Ugh.
But anyway, yeah, so the whole hub city is like a giant, weird, modern Asian stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments where you go, I think that's the line.
You know,
back
it's going to turn out that actually is just the Foxconn complex. The Foxconn complex.
Could be. Who knows?
Man.
So,
oh,
yeah,
I got to add that to hype, whatever that thing, the next segment. There's something I'm excited about.
Yay.
Next week.
So, yeah, so I'm still playing Deus Ex. I'm going to keep playing it.
Cool.
Fucking
well,
rules.
Not for the next week, because
no.
All you should be playing for the next week is Dreamcast games.
Yeah. This is true.
Speaking of, I am not going to talk about it, but it's obviously our game code game for next week is Shenmue. I have Shenmue. I have, I'm on to the third disc already. I put it in on Sunday?
Did you start from scratch or did you start from an old save?
I started from scratch. I have my old saves on there. And after I finish the game, I'm going to go back and see exactly where I was. But there's no way I could pick it up right from there.
Yeah.
Man, we'll talk about this on the on the Dreamcast.
More voices,
special.
John.
All I want to do is pause to '90s voice. I'm like, look at this motherfucker.
That was the worst thing.
Yeah,
I've ever
know. Heard. I like my voice is still a little shot. I went to a wedding this weekend.
Down with the boys.
Yeah, I was recovering from that cough from Fort Drum, and then I smoked a whole pack of cigarettes, like four cigars this weekend. So now my lungs are recovering from that. But it was awesome.
So, John, what's 10 million?
10 million is one of those constant runner games, like, you know, that are big on the phones.
Bit Trip or the other, yeah.
Catapult.
Catapult, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a dungeon crawler RPG with upgrades. Yeah.
Is it sort of like, did you ever play 30 Second Hero?
No, because you're still just running from left to right.
Okay.
But it's not like that. So, because you could still be running for, your object is still to stay alive as long as possible, but the game's not over as soon as you get knocked out of the one game. Because you go back to your little prison cell or whatever, and you have, little shops where you can upgrade your shit, to keep you from, to doing longer runs. And once you eventually get 10 million points, you're free.
So there is an end to it. It's not like Temple Run or whatever that just keeps escalating.
Yeah. I don't know what happens after that. Maybe New Game Plus or something. But the thing is, this is the game I've been looking for because it replaces what Tower of Fortune was to me. And Tower of Fortune fucked me over because I lost everything in one fell swoop. This is the opposite in that I can't lose this shit. Also that it costs like $2 or $3 or something. So it's not trying to get those fucking microtransaction hooks into me, which fuck you.
No,
that should be a dollar trying to get me to buy.
Buy your way to the end so that you cannot play it anymore for $5.
Not doing it. All right. You know, with these fucking games, the journey is the experience. Fuck. What was that? What did I just say?
The journey is the experience.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's like that.
We are some professional podcasters.
That
here.
Came out of my mouth, and I'm like, man, that sounds like a bad, like, advertising tagline. You know? That's got to be a car manufacturer, right?
I think it may be a movie tagline.
Anyway.
That's actually when they make the movie for Journey.
Yeah. God. I don't know what that would be about. But the whole thing is, like, occupying my time for 5 minutes or 10 minutes here and there is the goal of this fucking game. The actual destination is inconsequential. That this is kind of pushing me forward towards a goal is great because I'll get my, you know, I'm going to end up getting 20 fucking hours out of this game, right?
Like, right. Or you can spend $20 and then play the game for $5 and be done with it.
Luckily, it doesn't have that shit. Yeah. There's no microtransactions. Yeah. Knock on, yeah.
Knock on a thing.
Knock on boob. Knock on boob. If you guys didn't watch the unboxing from last week, I have the Wrecker of Agarest War booby mouse pad, so I'm knocking on that.
And if you haven't watched the unboxing video, not only should you should know that we have a new YouTube channel.
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel.
It's we have a link on the site now. I do not remember. I couldn't get Fantastic Neighborhood. I couldn't get Fantastic Hood. I think I had to be like the Fantastic Hood.
Maybe it's Fanta Hood.
No, it was the.
No,
Fantastic
somebody
Hood,
has
I think.
Somebody has Fanta Hood, because that's the Fanta. Well, rap.
They don't let you have Fantastic Neighborhood because it's one too many characters.
Mm.
They don't. I couldn't have Fantastic Hood because someone had it.
Dang. Yeah. Anyway, the only other thing that I had worth talking about that isn't a Dreamcast game is the new Xbox experience, which is in open beta right now. But it's they said you can't talk about it, and like I'm not gonna. You know, break that. There are some things, you know, real things like that happen in it.
Are you keeping a journal so you can read it on air?
But they're like everybody will see it soon enough in like a month or so. There are some things they fixed as far as accessibility things, but accessibility, like getting to where you want to go. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about it when it happens.
Yay. So, John, I started playing a game that you had recommended to me.
I love this fucking game.
And I got it on Newegg for...
$10.
$10, yeah. With free shipping, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is ridiculous, because it's not that old a game.
It's from 2009.
10, I thought.
9. It's from 2009.
Whatever. It's not that old.
It's from 2009.
So I started playing Enslaved.
Yes.
And
Odyssey of the West.
Yes. And I'm now up to... I did one good sitting at it right now. I think I'm up to chapter 4.
Yes.
And I really like it.
It's a great game based on...
The same thing Dragon Ball Z was based on.
Yeah, the ancient Chinese...
It's one of the four big books out of China, like of historical...
I want to say Odyssey of the West. Or something like
that. It might actually be called Odyssey of the West. It's about the Monkey King.
Yeah.
And they make no qualms about the fact that they've openly based it. Your main character
it's based on that. They have said that.
So your main character is named Monkey.
Oh,
and
so
he fights with a bow staff.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's all post-apocalyptic dystopian, maybe not apocalypse, but...
Dude.
Fall of Mankind.
Just wait till you get to the ending.
I don't want to hear nothing.
Just wait till you get to the fucking ending.
So,
Do you like FMV?
I do.
Yeah. Like FMV with people in it.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Be able to push you forward. As soon as I learned that there was, like, real-ass FMV in this game, I was like, oh, shit, I gotta beat this shit.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. It's a solid... adventure game, right? Or action adventure?
Yeah, I guess it's an action game. It's not an adventure game in that you're not like really solving.
I mean, the story is an adventure, but
yeah.
I guess. And there's nothing. It's the storytelling and the setting that set it apart more than the game itself, because the game itself is pretty.
The gameplay is not anything incredible. You really can't.
It's solid. I mean,
It's really hard to fail.
Right. I mean, if anything, the only thing I would critique is the tech point system.
Oh, yeah, the buying upgrades and stuff?
Yeah, just the item collection.
Yeah.
There's a lot of coin hunting in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't detract from it too much. It's a really great-looking game. The setting is really cool. Here's the thing I've come to...
Didn't it age fantastically, though?
Like, I think it aged really well,
That game could have came out yesterday, and I would still think it's visually incredible. I find the first couple chapters in... they never say it, which is awesome to me, but, like, in New York, like, in destroyed-ass New York, yeah. I thought that shit was just fucking gorgeous.
I love that it was in New York, too. It's, you know, I just, like... As soon as the game opens up and you realize you're heading into New York, I was like, yeah! And
dude,
it's all
spoiled, right?
I know. But it's all landmarks, too. You know what I mean? Like, you recognize... Even if you're not from New York, you'll recognize the landmarks.
Yeah.
But, so, the game contains what I consider to be the most accurate and emotive character models I've ever seen in a video game.
I would disagree with you when you say accurate. Emotive, expressive are good words.
Accurate in their emotions.
Yeah, so... And I know what you're going to say is, like, that they're not, they don't, or Monkey at least, I don't know how, I forget how far chapter 4 is, but there are, we'll say, 3 or 4 actual characters in this game.
Sure.
One of them has maybe a realistic body shape for a video game female, but I mean, they're not, this is, it's got a cartoonish style, but... The way the characters express...
Yeah, the facial expression specifically,
it's amazing. And
so the game was... I think it was mostly, if not completely, motion capture.
Yeah. And it's...
It's what's Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis. And he...
Who apparently does
Gollum.
The voice work, too.
Oh, he does Monkey.
I actually thought it was someone else. I thought it was the guy who used to do Wolverine in the old X-Men cartoon.
No. It was... It's... He co-wrote the script, too. And directed all the... I think he directed all the voice acting himself.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's really good.
God. You know when you walk into, like, the hovering mask type things and you get, like...
Right. I've only done 2 so far.
Okay.
That's him, right? In the masks?
You need to beat this game.
I do.
Oh, man. I think, actually, anybody should... Man, you should play this game. This is a great game. I think this is one of the best games of the generation.
I think I really do. Now, I haven't gotten so far in that I really know where it's going or how much is actually going to be explained, but
it's bananas.
Between the acting of the game, like I really can call it acting within this game.
Yeah.
Because they're capturing an actor's expressions and feelings, and they're, even when they talk, their mouths are accurate to what they are saying.
Yeah. Right? The eyes. Look at the eyes.
The eyes and the mouth.
So many games like just do dead fucking eyes. And this is fantastic the way they do eyes.
Yeah. So even the acting is superb. The storyline seems pretty good so far. I don't know how deep it's going to go or how much they're going to explain.
It's...
Because, like, the one critique you could make is the fact that, like, why the hell are the people shaped the way they are? Monkey has a physique that is physically impossible.
That's really inconsequential.
Sure.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. A guy just complained about a guy's physique being impossible. Every video game female of all time ever.
I mean, they're... Okay, let me put it to you this way.
Starting with Samus.
Monkey is exaggerated in sort of like the opposite direction that the characters from Gears are. Like, you know how the Gears guys are just basically walking tanks?
He's super shoulder heavy with little squirrely legs.
He's really hourglass shaped.
It's inconsequential.
And he's got gigantic hands and feet.
Really, really inconsequential.
No, I get that.
I think the visual style is fantastic. This is the reason I'm actually looking forward to DMC, Devil May Cry, the new one, that Ninja Theory is doing.
Right.
I bought Heavenly Sword. I'm going to go back and play it eventually. I've heard that game is great at what it does, and I just think that I think that with Devil May Cry, put it in that weird bullshit Japanese story and everything, I think...
Well, they're reinventing it, though, so it might... I mean,
all the fans are pissed off, because...
Actually...
Fans of the series are
the
idiots.
The first Devil May Cry I thought was excellent. I loved that game, especially the goddamn flame crab or whatever.
I played a little bit of 4, and that was it.
But everything after that lost me. It was the same with the Onimusha games. First one was amazing, everything else after lost me.
You know, the best Devil May Cry game I've played is Bayonetta, so...
But, yeah, you know, the...
I would like a sequel to that.
The other thing I was going to say about this game, Enslaved, one of the things I like that they did is, and I don't want to call it idiot mode, but like the fact that you can't really make goofy jumps to your death over and over again, mm-hmm. like it's really smart. It's still challenging. There's still time sequences and button mashy sequences and things you have to do, but to get from like point A to point B, you're not going to accidentally fall off the side of a ledge. They've made it smart.
Platforming
enough.
Is not their focus,
right? But as a result, you get to play the fucking game,
and you still get to see some cool like what Ninja Theory really does best. Like you get to see this cool fluid movement in the platforming, and I think
even Chapter 1 where you're trying to escape, like just shit that's going on.
Yeah, that also that whole sequence is timed fantastically.
Yeah.
But if we ever did end up playing the 2008 Prince of Persia, that's something that's in that game too. Is like you can't really, because you can rewind a little bit or whatever. You can't really do that in this game. But that's what some people have complained about because they want like super hard platforming. I'm like, I'll take what you give me if you execute it well. That's what I'm gonna like.
I mean, the fights are still challenging enough. Yeah. I would say.
I think my thing is like as long as the developer gives me something that they do well. I'm gonna like it.
I think the game is what they wanted it to be.
They are who we thought they were.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna keep playing this. I got a lot of games on my chopping block here, and I'm not gonna be able to play any of them this week.
You'll be able to finish that fairly quickly, honestly. Like, I remember that game maybe taking me a total of seven hours, maybe.
Sure. Anyway, so, I did one more thing this week.
I'm really interested to hear about it.
We went bowling. Dude, it was a spur of the moment thing. Me and my wife and my sister-in-law and a friend, like, yeah, let's do something. Let's go bowling. We found a bowling alley that was like really close to my neighborhood. Let me tell you something. If you haven't heard Blink-182 in a while,
I actually have because you know my iPod.
go to a bowling alley on like a Sunday night where it's like $15 all you can play, because mm-hmm. they have two. They do like laser light shit.
Yeah, laser bowling.
Yeah, so they had two screens, and it was weird because they kept showing modern rap, hip hop, and R&B, Is R&B still a thing anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you had
Drake is a mashup of hip hop and R&B.
You had Rihanna. You had your friend in mind, Pitbull. You had Ludacris, right?
Luda.
But then when it came to like the rock and the rock and not pop, but like pop punk music, it was all early 2000s.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. I was about to launch into like, yeah, I used to go bowling a lot in high school and college, and then I was like, no, I don't want to talk about
this. No one cares
about this.
I'll tell you, it's not like Wii Bowling, man.
Yeah, there's actually a ball.
There's a ball, and it hurts if you throw it wrong.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. We have one more thing.
We do have one more thing.
Doctor Who!
Doctor Who!
Dude, see, here's the thing, is you don't have people emotions, but my wife cried twice during the season premiere.
Really?
And I got welled up once.
I don't really...
Oh, dude.
I can't, because I know there's going to be a twist.
No, I'm not talking about, like, twists and all that shit, but, like, the interactions between, without going into too much detail, the interactions
between the two non-Doctor characters?
Yeah.
Yes. I know what you're getting at.
And also the resolution of, resolution of the episode.
I think I saw the resolution coming from a while
I kind of saw it coming.
But it was done really well.
God, that was a really good episode.
So here's the thing with Doctor Who. It's very hard for me to judge an episode, any given episode in any given series of Doctor Who until I've seen the whole season, because they always find a way to tie them all back.
I guess. We'll see.
Like, even when it was the Tennant episodes.
We know Amy and Rory are almost out, right?
Well, I think all of them are almost out. I really do think Matt Smith is out after this season.
Probably. And I think it's going to be if they're smart, it'll be a black lady Doctor Who.
Well, which does lead to a good plot twist of how do they handle, if it's a black lady, how do they handle River?
Oh, God, I just hope she never comes back. I hate her.
She's back in this season,
though. I know she is. I just don't like her.
I'm not a fan of her.
Ugh. But she's too old. Is that the most fucked up thing? Like, why can't they regenerate her into something fucking younger and less of a bitch?
They'd have to retcon it.
I just don't... Oh, I don't like her sassiness.
I don't like your sassiness.
I know. I understand. A lot of people don't like my sassiness. I just don't like... I don't know. I just don't think she's nice enough to the Doctor.
Could be. The other thing is that this is the first season that my wife has decided to start watching with me.
Katie started watching with me, I want to say, it was either the start of the Matt Smith ones or towards the end of the Tennant ones.
I'm really glad she's watching with me, because I don't have to fight over the TV when it's on. At the same time, I think it's really hard for her to get into it. We tried to watch some of the last season, and I'm just like, I'm sitting there trying to explain to her and I'm like, you know what, maybe we should just watch this from the beginning.
Katie likes it. Katie watched most of Torchwood with me, which is bad. What's his name that brought Doctor Who back together? Not Stephen Moffat, who took it over.
Oh, the guy before. I can't remember his
name. That guy has, like, I don't understand how his stuff was successful in the first place, because he's got, like, serious taste issues. But it has gotten, I feel like, and I might be crazy because everybody loves David Tennant so much, but it got really good when Matt Smith came aboard.
Do you know what it is? The Tennant stuff had so much throwback to the original series. There was a lot of nostalgia to it, because there was almost no new villains, right? It was the Daleks. It was the Cybermen.
I don't know. There hasn't been a ton of new villains.
It was the Master. It was Davros.
Oh, yeah. You had the face shit. But right. Honestly, I love Matt Smith as the hipster, like, kind of like the hipster action hero. If that makes any sense.
A little bit.
Like, David Tennant very rarely had his dickish badass moments. Matt Smith is much more likely to, bow ties are cool, and then just pull, like, a dick move, which I love, because I love both those things.
Yeah.
I love bow ties, and I love doing really dickish shit to people. Tennant, like, boom, bitch!
Tennant had more of a fixed morality about his character.
Yeah.
While Matt Smith is a little bit more of a, you know, loose cannon.
Yeah. Oh, I just hit all your underwear, motherfucker. How do you like that?
But yeah. So, John, I think we've rambled on enough on this. We gotta take the train off of the stop at the consumption junction and move on to the boner train nanza. What are we calling it now?
I hate you. We'll be right back.
Every day has been the same old thing on my block. You either working or you're slanging cocaine on my block. You had to hustle, cause that's how we was raised on my block. And you stayed on your hop until you made you a knot on my block. To hang out was the thing back then. And even when you left out, you came back in. To my block from Holloway, Belfort to Scott. Reroll the flocks, we know the spots. So we the rocks, the drink or the blue dots. On your block, you probably bred a fat pad of Tupac. Big Pun, the B.I., your homeboys from knee high. And even when it was storming outside, that nigga D-Bi, that's me, dog, on my block. I ain't had to play the big shot. Niggas knew me back when I was stealing beer from Shamrock, and my nickname was Creepy. If Black Joe could see me, he'd be tripping. And I bet he still try to tease me. On my block, where everything is everything for Jeezy. My block, we probably done it all, homie, believe me. My block, we made the impossible look easy for Jeezy. I'll never leave my block, my niggas need me. On my block, we nigga haters and the cops. Fuck a rock.
And we're back. Hype train Dananza boner.
Something.
I like that.
Spot where we talk about new things.
Okay. You briefly mentioned it before we before we recorded this.
One of my favorite television shows of all time has come back on the internet. Syphil and Ollie is coming back. They recorded a teaser.
Say Remington Steele. I was really excited.
Also Remington Steele. They recorded a teaser trailer for the return. It's going to be part of the Machinima Network or whatever they do there. I think it's just a YouTube channel, but they're totally ripping us off.
How are they ripping us off?
So, besides the fact that they're sock puppets, just like you and I.
Okay.
Is that they are doing video game reviews.
We don't do video game reviews.
But they're doing real video game reviews for fake video games.
We also don't do that.
Like, Feed the Shark.
I'll call my lawyer.
Yes. But I'm sure they're going to do music on every episode like they used to.
Okay, yeah, United States, whatever. That was big jam in college.
Big jam.
They actually, I think they might have played that fucking song on, like, the shitty alternative rock station
that
in Philadelphia.
That song got, it had, like, a resurgence when Bush got elected.
God, I hate Philadelphia.
It was a Syphil and Ollie skit, and then Liam Lynch recorded an album, Liam Lynch being the creator of the show.
Yeah.
Recorded an album and included that song. Same song. On the album, and then everyone forgot it was a Syphil and Ollie thing, and went, we love this, and it had, like, a second life.
It was good.
It was good. It still is. I don't know. But I love Syphil and Ollie. I'm looking forward to this, because it's not really a video game review show. It's just going to be pure comedy.
Yeah, I feel like this is something I can easily watch on my second screen at work.
I also feel like it's going to be highly digestible, like, you know, 5-minute episodes.
Yeah, that's what I need. Internet age.
Yeah.
All right.
Just don't write anything. Put it in a picture and send it to me.
It's like when we do skits. yeah.
John?
Yes.
Metal Gear Ground Zero.
Ground Zeros.
Zeros. I didn't know if that was a typo or not.
No. That's what it's called.
I think I saw something about this right before I left the office, and it was like Grandpa Snake or something like that.
No. Okay, so you know I've only made my way through... I'm only about halfway through Metal Gear Solid 2, and I need to go back and do that. This apparently takes place right after the Peace Walker, which was the PSP game that's sure. also re-released in the HD collection. But it's... story aside, right? They released this 10-minute like teaser trailer that's all in-engine footage. The Fox Engine, which is Kojima Productions' new engine... It looks white hot fucking sexy.
Is this PS3?
They're saying it is for current generation consoles.
Okay.
Which shocked, like, it looks fucking good.
It doesn't look as good as
what the fuck was it that I got so amped over E3?
Oh, Star Wars?
No. The other one where all the shit was happening would actually look like a next gen game.
No, that was Star Wars. Last of Us?
No, Star Wars graphically impressive, but the one where they were doing it on in-engine, and there was just, like, a ton of shit happening at the same time.
I'll be damned if I remember that.
Fuck me.
That was, like, all of a month ago, John. And you're...
Fucking Watch Dogs.
Fucking Watch Dogs,
no,
John.
So it didn't look as good as that. The thing that really impressed me about Watch Dogs is, well, you know, Star Wars 1313 looked really impressive. Watch Dogs had a lot of shit happening.
Right.
Like, it looked really great. A lot of games can look great, but also to have, like, a bunch of shit happening, like, all these
people were moving, cars were driving.
Yeah,
yada,
and then
yada.
You zoomed out, and it was obvious that there were actual other people running around this fucking world, and the car crash, and all that shit. Like, that was bananas. This doesn't look quite that nuts. Japanese developer, let's, you know, let's reel it back.
There's
a
very intricate menu system, though.
Yeah, but it looks rad, and because of Mike's recent excitement about Metal Gear, also, how into Shenmue I am, like, I don't know. I like some weird, like, after, I'm stuttering my way through this. So, after some of the great storytelling, I think this is a banner fucking year for storytelling in video games between Spec Ops The Line and The Walking Dead.
Sure.
I am really still kind of appreciating, like the cheesy B storytelling of, say, Metal Gear Solid or Shenmue. Or something like that.
But that's not the... It's not the storytelling, it's the story, right?
Yeah. I guess. It's... I don't know. I can appreciate both sides of the coin, is what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, I think with something like Metal Gear, it's so over the top that it comes off B anyway.
Yeah. It's schlocky.
You have this 9-year-old special operative running around fighting Gundams.
And I think you're talking about Metal Gear Solid 4, but he's not 90. It's the virus or whatever, him being cloned has aged him fairly quick. I don't know, man. I haven't played that far.
Exactly. It's soap opera stuff.
It is. Anyway, it looks rad, and I look forward to seeing it. Apparently, that is not Metal Gear Solid 5, and that is not Project Ogre, which is a secret Kojima project. But I don't know. This says to me, if this engine is, like, easy to use, this says to me Konami might have a shot in the next gen.
I believe it. This, you know, it's funny, now that you say it's not Metal Gear 5, there's a lot of games I'm noticing that are releasing things that are not true sequels, but they're, like, some side story.
Well, I think the reason...
Because they're waiting for the next gen.
I think you're really thinking of, like, Gears of War and God of War.
Gears of War, God of War. Believe it or not, I was reading a thing about Kingdom Hearts is releasing, like, yet another side story that leads up to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Dream Drop Distance?
Yeah, Triple D. Word.
I think the thing about, like, we'll say the banner Xbox and PS3 franchises is, like, I think they weren't necessarily expecting these, like, much like third-party developers, not expecting these consoles to last so fucking long.
And they need to keep the brand going. Like, they need to keep on people's
minds.
Well,
no, I think they're just not ready to release a new IP yet. Yeah, Last of Us, okay. We know you're there. But, like, for the most part, I mean, come on. Halo 4, like, I don't even know. What the fuck are they doing? Like,
yeah,
they can't start a new IP right now is I think the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, John?
Football.
Football!
American football. It's back tomorrow. Giants Cowboys starts tomorrow.
You know, I've been watching it for like 2-3 weeks now.
The preseason
stuff.
God, that's
which
garbage.
Is terrible.
That's
yeah.
garbage.
It's like watching the Pro Bowl, right? Like,
I don't know. Maybe even worse. No, the Pro Bowl is the worst display of football in the world.
Listen, I'm not a big sports guy, John, but I actually do like when football comes around. I don't get super excited at the beginning of the season. More towards the middle, I start getting really involved.
Well, I do fantasy football, so this is... Yeah. I get really excited because I'm gambling a lot.
Oh, good. We can talk about that. It's a game.
Yeah, it is. I'm in 3 different traditional fantasy football leagues this year and 1 Survivor League.
What's your quarterback's dexterity? Does he have good charisma?
No, but here's the thing. I'm actually drafting in 2 leagues right now. I set up auto draft because I had to record the show. These are small money leagues, so I'm not, like, super concerned about it. But I am drafting Cam Newton way ahead of where I should because I like having him on my team because my funny team name is Cam on your tits. Like, you know,
I get it.
Replace a letter and it's dirty.
It's a semen reference.
Yeah. Or Cam on your TDs.
I don't know how you thought about that. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
How much time did you spend on that?
It's way too much. Because honestly, before I was starting...
You know what you should do? You should get a patent on that.
Well, before I had him, I had Matt Schaub as a quarterback. We're talking about last year. And I so with your monthly dick Schaub, like, I was trying to suggest getting your dick swabbed, which is a reference that only people who have been tested for chlamydia will get. So, anyway, the last thing I put on here is...
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. So the last thing I put on here is Windows 8, which, like...
Metro.
It's out. I guess it's not out until October officially. If you're on, if you're a Microsoft developer, you can get it now. Are you gonna get it?
I almost never get the new OS within the first couple of months. I always wait because there's always patches and updates, and I usually wait for it to solidify. To be honest, I still feel like Windows 7 is really new to me.
Windows 7 is pretty new to me. The thing is, I've pirated it. And I'm, like, sick of kind of doing my workarounds. And this is the first time they're fucking selling an OS for a reasonable price. And that's $40.
I'll tell you, if I was still on XP, I would definitely grab
Vista.
It. Or Vista, yeah. As a Windows 7 user right now, I think I'm going to stay with 7 until I learn a little bit more about Metro.
The reason I might be sick of... Well, I hear at the back end, like, if without the Metro interface, the 8 is basically 7.
Yeah.
That's... I just want to make sure that the boot camp functionality there is there out the gate, that, like, the boot camp assistant is – that all the drivers work.
Well, my point is this. Like, so I upgraded to Windows 7 from being a longtime XP user because I thought, well, it's more secure. It runs more efficiently. It has new features that I want, right? It was all
– Games are going to finally stop working with XP too.
Yeah, so it was pretty much like, why wouldn't you get this upgrade at that point, right? And I bought a new computer at the time. Like, I need to upgrade my machine. So I did it all in one fell swoop. Now that I have 7, it's just as secure as 8 for the most part. It's still supported. It's an interface I'm used to. I don't really feel obliged to jump onto a new interface just for the sake of having a new interface.
Here's one of the main reasons I'm thinking about doing it. So out of the door, Metro is not going to work with an Xbox 360 controller, or at least this is the reports we're hearing so far. But somebody's going to release that functionality really goddamn quick. And you know, like, if I'm using Windows, I'm sitting out in the living room and I'm playing video games, usually on my TV, usually with a 360 controller. So I can pin all those things to my dashboard, which, who knows, might be a feature in the new Xbox experience. At least, you know, the ability, something like that, right?
Sure.
If I can do all that with a Kinect or with a 360 controller, like, it's instantly worth it for me, because then I don't have to fucking, you know, walk over and use a trackpad or have my wireless mouse out there and, like, trying to mouse over something on a screen that's 15 feet away.
Right.
The fucking thing is this small. Like, if it works with a 360 controller, or if it works with voice commands with a Kinect, or if they just make it easier for me to use it from a couch,
right,
like Steam's big screen interface is going to do soon, like, we're straight.
I mean, certainly it'll get there eventually. If it's going to do that out of the box is
if it does it by Christmas, I'm going to be pumped.
Did you see the whole thing about Gabe Newell? Like, not he basically shit on Windows 8 and said it's not going to be friendly for games and it's going to fail.
Oh, you want to know why he's saying that?
Because he's hiring hardware people right now.
No, because the fucking App Store on Windows with games, you know, with games right there at the forefront.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a lot, you know, hey, I can just buy this game right here. If they have comparable pricing, why fucking go through another layer of app if it's right
agreed.
Right there?
But he just got caught. Basically, Valve just got caught. Well, not caught, but
no,
they're hiring
the
hardware developers.
Yeah, they're hiring industrial engineers.
Yeah,
and we'll see what happens with that.
I mean, you know, obviously everyone's jumping to Steambox, but maybe who knows?
We'll see. I mean, they're
if Valve really, I think what they should have done is invested in making their own controller, like the Steam controller, because everyone's just going to use their.
Everybody's going to use the 360 controller because it's there.
Right.
Or one of the variants that's like that. But the thing is, Valve has recently kind of, I don't know, not super under the radar, but rolled out Steam for Linux.
Yeah.
And now they're
doing apps.
Yeah. And only one or two games works for that at this point. But they're working on rolling out all of source for Linux. They're afraid of Microsoft.
Well, I mean,
they're jealous little cunts. No, I'm kidding.
And, well, they probably should be, right? It's a highly competitive industry.
People really like to defend, you know, Steam and Valve. Like, I mean, me too. And not a lot of people like to defend Microsoft and all. These are all huge companies.
Yeah,
that just care about the bottom line.
Yeah, they're all monolithic. They're not trying to advance humanity.
Yeah, not doing the Lord's work here.
Anyway, John, speaking of the Lord's work, we have a very special segment coming up next. I think we're going to take a short break and come right back.
And talk about some fallen friends, right?
Yeah.
Hang you, stand you, with one up in the chain. Let's take a trip up Holloway so you can see how many niggas in my hood is down the tide of day. We're standing up for our own shit. And if you outside the clique, then you die, bitch. It ain't no love in this motherfucker. It ain't no love for yourself or your other brother. Because we real with this shit, so we stay true. And since we bang, then we do what OG say to. I've got the mind of the man in the mirror, so I'm looking at me vaguely, but I can't seem to fade me. I've got my pistol pawn cocked, ready to lick shots non-stop until I see your monkey ass drop. And let your homies know who done it. Cause when it comes to this gangster shit, you motherfuckers know who run it. So when you put this motherfucker to the test, you gotta realize something, nigga.
You fucking with the very best.
I've got this killer up inside of me. I can't talk to my mother, so I talk to my diary. I'm going off on the deep end. I find myself face to face with myself while I'm sleeping. I see your picture in my head.
Which reminds me, we're back.
You recorded the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
Good, good.
John,
it's a somber moment for us, I think.
You know, recently we've said goodbye to some friends.
Yes, it's always sad to have a loved one pass.
And right now behind us, you're probably hearing the music from when The Undertaker used to cut promos on the WWF. I have to find that music.
But we feel as part of the community, it is our duty and our civic responsibility to sort of memorialize some of our fallen friends and heroes.
Yeah.
In this segment, which we are going to read some obituaries of our fallen friends.
Video game obituaries. So go ahead, Fred.
So this first obituary is Nintendo Power. After a brief 24-year run, Nintendo Power has finally ran out of juice. After the grim realization that the internet exists, Nintendo has pulled the plug on Nintendo Power, which has been on life support for some time. Born as the Nintendo Fun Club, and then changing its name after only 7 issues once it could finally afford the operation, Nintendo Power has been a friend and ever-present source of nostalgia for most gamers our entire lives. The magazine was published under a licensing agreement with a company named Future Publishing, who apparently did not realize that the future of publishing was not in non-digital magazines. When asked for some kind words, Doc Lewis said, "Join the Nintendo Fan Club today." Doc is currently receiving mental health treatment at Bellevue after a rash of kleptomania-driven bike thefts. The magazine is survived by its 2 sons, Howard Phillips and Nestor.
That's lovely. Yeah, that magazine's gone. I'm gonna do one.
Do you wanna memorialize this lost friend?
It is with much sadness that we must announce the death of the PlayStation Vita after birthing complications after only a few short months. The Vita was plagued with health problems since birth, including being born with a touchscreen but not a touch-sensitive menu, as well as advanced feline AIDS. While near the end of its days, it underwent some massive changes and finally overcame this issue, but it was too late. We asked some friends and family for some quotes. The PS3 said, "It is a shame for such a close and personal extension of me to pass so young. If only Sony had taken my advice and bundled the Vita with a television, perhaps it could have had a fighting chance." Nintendo's 3DS says, "Having grown up with similar problems, I can only feel sympathy at this point. It took a severe cost reduction procedure very early on in my life to make sure I made it. It is too bad Vita didn't have the same luck." The PlayStation Vita said, "I'm not dead. Look, I'm still here. New games are being released for me all the time. Why doesn't anyone believe me? I have a touch-sensitive pad on my back, for crying out loud."
It's a shame we've lost someone so young.
So young, so soon.
Young. Our last obituary for the evening, The Last Guardian. The Last Guardian is currently missing and presumed dead. After its absence at E3 and several industry events, and now without being on the bill for the Tokyo Game Show, authorities are investigating if any foul play is involved with the title's sudden disappearance. When Sony's worldwide studio boss, Shuhei Yoshida, was brought in for questioning, he insisted that The Last Guardian was still being developed. Obviously, this witness is in shock and denial at its horrible loss. Authorities have several leads on the disappearance and are looking for either a small boy with large, bull-like horns or something they describe as Colossus-like. John, very somber this episode.
Really sad shit.
It's sad to see them go. We will remember them for forever. And we'll be right back with Game Club. Back. Back on the block with them hoes. Face mob, black mittens and hoes. We'll make me relapse. Back to the block with the phone. Cause the street shit is all I know. From the womb to the tomb, a hot pot of joy and a spoon. Trying to make me 40,000 and move. Motel, star-studded, rock stars and goons. Plain clothes wanna run in my room. But nigga, guess who's been Zach? It's your boy Face Mob. Started with an 8-ball. Gotta get this cake, dog. Give niggas a break, nah. You know how the game go. Fuck you think I slang for to go against the grain? Nope. I'm out here in grind mode, wrapped up in a paper chase. I wanna fuck a fine hoe and candy paint the 88. Don't got no wholesale, cause that ain't how I wanna run it. Here, take these 5 stones and bring a nigga back 100. Gotta see my feet, dude. You do shit a fiend, dude. If I get too hot in the kitchen, I hit the streets, fool. Money is an issue, and that's on the for shizzle. My nizzle, your block warm and I come by with the fizzle. And make for sure I get to work mine a part of time. We go to war and you ain't making a dime. Cause I got shit to lose. A nigga out here paying his dues. My baby walking, gotta get him some shoes. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line and I'ma get you the blues. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line and I'ma get you the blues.
Welcome back, guys. We're here with Game Club Walking Dead Episode 3.
For those of you new to Game Club, this is the segment where Fred and I play the same game, usually either something old or something cheap, and then talk about it. Spoil the shit out of it. It's like a book club, but for video games.
Without wine. No wine.
Bourbon.
Okay. So our game club game this week was Walking Dead Episode 3.
Not Season 3.
Episode 3. Now, we've played through the first two for our longtime listeners, so you'll be familiar with this. If you have not played the game yet, we suggest you read the show notes and find the time code to skip ahead, and then go ahead and play the goddamn game.
I would suggest playing this fucking game.
This is a brilliant fucking series, and you need to go play it.
If you play 2 games this year, you should play this game and Spec Ops The Line. And if you play 3 games, you should also play Shenmue.
So, I don't even know where to start.
And Pinball Arcade. Fuck.
You should play
a lot of games.
I do not even know where to start with this one, John.
Dude.
We have so many notes.
I don't know. I kind of want to start with what I started texting you when I started playing this, right? Let's go to the videotape. All right, so I text you last night. You played The Walking Dead yet? I just started. You're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'm making crazy decisions, and I have no idea why. So I think that's something we can agree on.
Yeah, they have absolutely no remorse how much they hurt our feelings.
No, I want to talk about, like, us making decisions and how... Oh. I don't even...
That, like, as well.
I find myself, like, real quick being like, why the fuck did I just do that?
So, you know, it's weird. I actually spend more time second-guessing myself and the choice. Like, I'll spend a good amount of time making a choice, and then as soon as it starts playing out, I start second-guessing what the choice was and why I made it.
It's like real life.
No, but in real life, I don't think that much.
I'll tell you the biggest thing that reminded me of real life in this was, like... Not Lily fucking... Oh, I feel like such a cocksucker now because I was really upset when she died. Carly. So Carly says, you know, I kind of like you. You should tell... She tells Lee. I don't... She shouldn't tell me this shit. She tells Lee. She's like, you should tell the people that you trust that you are actually a convicted murderer. And this is the first time they confirm in the game that you're actually guilty.
So this is new to me because I actually had Doug.
Fuck you. Oh, so you didn't have any sort of romance angle to it?
No.
Or did you? Anyway, but so then I'm like, all right, you're right. So I'm like, you know what? I fucking told everybody except for Duck. because Duck, you didn't have the option to tell him that. But I told literally everybody that's still alive, which might be fucking different in your group than it is mine. Holy shit! Are you serious? Carly is not alive in yours?
No. Died in the first episode.
Dude!
Doesn't matter now. They're both dead.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both dead in mine, too. Fuck! Anyway, so I went and told literally everybody, and then I was like, why did I say all that? And then it reminded me of, like, several times in life where I'm like, why did I say all that?
You know, Norm MacDonald used to have a bit where he would say, like, you ever catch yourself telling a lie for no reason? And it kind of reminds me of this, like...
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, I do that.
Yeah, everyone does, and you don't know why, but you do it.
Paul Ryan recently lied about his marathon time, which is only... Like, I've realized the reaction to this online is really only offensive to two groups of people, Democrats and people who have run marathons, which, oddly enough, are mutually exclusive.
Anyway, so...
I'm both.
Yeah, the decision-making in this game is actually becoming a taxing process. And since a lot of the segments are timed, it's like... I have these moments of sheer terror where I'm like,
yeah.
Although there was a moment in this game where I finally decided just not to talk.
I've done that a few times.
I haven't really done that in the past, but in this game I had, I think, two moments, one of which I specifically remember. So the one that was important to me, which we'll get to later on, but was when Kenny and Katya are trying to decide who's going to go into the woods.
Let's move on a little bit.
Yeah.
So you noted that this was a combat episode, heavy episode. There were some combat sequences, and those were failable.
There's a lot more moments where you can die.
Yeah.
And I mean, death just means you start over from
the last
checkpoint.
There's a lot more timing based things.
Yeah.
Like even if you want to talk about the guy when you go try to get the, I don't know if you tried to get the animal crackers.
I don't even know what that is.
All right. There's a part where you, by the train wreck where you can, there's a car and there's a zombie pinned in there and there's animal crackers underneath his seat. You can't use the gun cause it would be too loud, but you can release his seatbelt real quick and then bash his head in with a car door. And it was really timing based.
I really don't think I got up. I think we had totally different experiences.
I think you never walked outside the other side of the train.
No, I did. I didn't.
From
I just
front?
Never... Yeah, I just never encountered
that.
Because
this zombie scared the shit out of me, too. It was the only time in this game, in this episode, where I jumped.
Well, yeah, anyway, I just never saw it.
So you never got the animal crackers. I gave them to Duck. Yeah. But, yeah, no, there were some weird timing shit. You said something about the ammo should feel scarcer, but it's never been said that ammo is scarce to them.
Well, it's implied that resources are scarce, and regardless of whether or not how much they have, assume that, you know, they only have so much ammo, right? Especially since they had to desert their camp in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, any zombie storyline, ammo is usually a concern, including Walking Dead. Even in the comic books, there have been moments where ammo is a concern. So, I just feel like, you know, the time sequences, you could just keep firing off rounds until you hit what you need to hit. There's no... And because this is an adventure game, it is not a first-person shooter, although I got to be honest with you, one of the things that actually threw me off during the crosshair sequences where you're actually shooting, I kept trying to pull the trigger thinking that's the fire.
Oh, yeah. No, that happened to me, too. I think that was one of the few times their design was actually pretty bad.
Yeah, it would have been nice if that worked, but it was a very combat-heavy episode. I like the way they do combat in that it's really just point and clicks all the same, mm-hmm. but it's time point and click, but it feels organic enough that it makes sense for the series. I just wish that maybe, you know, scarcity of ammo, scarcity of weaponry was more of a mindset, not even a concern for the player, but just a mindset of the characters that, you know, in the opening scene where you have to decide whether or not you, whether or not you shoot the girl, I feel like in other zombie properties and other movies I've seen, that same scenario has played out. And the question has always been, it's not, do I put this woman out of her misery or not? It's, do I waste a bullet and do I draw attention to myself?
I don't know. I think, you know, eventually we have to play Metro 2033 on Game Club because from what I understand in that game, bullets kill people, but are also your currency.
That sounds fun.
That sounds frustrating and terrible.
Yeah.
Which is sounds perfect for Game Club. This moving right along of the text I sent you. Dude, this is let's see. Fuck. Man, these writers don't give a fuck. Holy shit.
No, they do
not. Dude, do you want to know what I sent you? So this obviously did not happen in your game. Yo, Lily straight up caps Carly, or in your case, Doug. Straight up caps her. Like,
so it seems like Carly, from what I've read, Carly's murder is a lot more brutal than Doug's.
Dude, they're arguing outside. I'm like, everybody get back in the fucking van, or turn this bitch around. Or, and she just pulls the fucking gun out and caps her. So that was like when you have to make the decision whether you leave her or not.
So in my storyline, they're arguing over whether or not Ben is the traitor.
Yeah, they're arguing about that too.
And what happens is she actually tries to shoot Ben, and Doug pushes him out of the way and gets shot in the back of the head.
Oh, well, it's obviously it's revealed, you know, that Ben was trying to make these deals anyway. I mean, here's the thing is, you can understand the decisions characters are making, even the awful decisions.
Yeah.
Like,
the,
I can understand
stress and all that.
Lily going crazy. Like, I can understand what Ben was doing. He's stupid. He's a kid. And then he felt like, and then at one point, like, fuck, me moving that bag is what caused us to get attacked in the first place.
So, one of the other things I got to point out, Lily is a character from the comic book.
I wasn't aware of this. Did she get found?
Lily, and so there's going to be comic spoilers.
Because what's
right
his
next.
Name was in it with the cap?
I forget what his name is now. He's in the comics and he's in the TV show.
Glenn.
Lily and then Herschel from the farm are both also comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
Lily is actually a very important comic book character in the Walking Dead series.
So does she live?
She lives. Regardless of what your choice is, she lives and she winds up at the prison with Rick Grimes.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I've read up to the prison part in the comics.
Okay.
But I don't remember.
Did you read past the prison? Because I don't want to spoil anything. Okay. She is a pivotal part of the comic book.
Oh.
So, regardless of what you do, she's going to live through the game.
Okay.
And regardless of whether you leave her or not, she winds up... Here's the thing I've noticed, though. The storyline for this is canon.
Oh, no, it absolutely is.
It's 100%. It is going on at the same time, and it fits into the storyline.
I'm so glad it has nothing to do with the show. But I lost all interest in
the show. Yeah, same here. But here's the thing that I love is that I can play this game without ever having read the comics.
I've read through the first several trades.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
But you can play this game without ever reading the comics. A lot of times when you play a tie-in, it requires you to have knowledge of the other property. This one does not.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So there's another thing. So can we talk about the?
What do you want to talk about, sweetheart?
All right. So the big sequence. I think the most pivotal thing in this fucking episode of the game.
Hey, I'm getting a phone call from a wireless caller.
I think the most pivotal moment in this game, which was just like really awkwardly interrupted. Duck is bitten.
Yes, which is revealed as during the very tense scene with Carly and everyone.
Around the same chapter. So, like you say, you question: does Katja's death make sense? Why didn't she kill Duck first? I think the thing we disagree about the most. She couldn't bring herself to be alive without her son.
Okay, so I get that. I have enough human emotion to understand.
No, you
this.
Don't. You're not a person.
Here's so that point I was saying where I actually didn't speak. Katja and Kenny were arguing about who actually has to take Duck out to the woods and shoot him.
Yeah, no, and I remember the sequence. I was like, I'll do it.
Right.
But then they're like, oh, we're going to go say goodbye, though.
Right, so I didn't talk. In my head, I went, this is a mother and father deciding who's going to shoot their son. Maybe I should shut the fuck up. Which is a, no, yes, that's a human emotion. Anyway. so kind of they argue amongst themselves who's going to do it, and Katya says she will do it. And the context of the conversation and sort of the
I think why we disagree more, because that's not how it went down.
We had separate stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cadence of which she speaks with, and like, she really makes it seem like, Kenny, I understand how hard this is for you, like my loving husband who I care the world for. Mm-hmm. I will do it because you're not strong enough to do it. That's basically the inclination you get from it. And then she goes out into the woods, you hear a gunshot, you go to find her, and she's dead. And I just don't understand how emotionally a mother could leave her son there to suffer and turn into a zombie and take her own life.
No, see, I can't imagine that either. And I mean, I can understand it to an extent, but I can't. Listen, I've never been like that depressed ever in my life. Like, I can't understand when anybody kills themselves ever. Like, zombie apocalypse notwithstanding, I mean, it's not understandable for me. But our stories go a little bit differently, and I think in my scenario, maybe, I don't know, maybe the things went the way things went. It's because she wasn't, you know, about to go do it.
Right. In my story, she was about to go do it, and it was not a moment of like, I have nothing left in life. Like, if anyone should be killing themselves right now, it would be Kenny, right? Kenny has nothing left. His entire family is dead. He has nowhere to go. And he's stuck with a bunch of people who he doesn't frankly like in my storyline.
Oh, well, things are a little different in my world.
But, I don't know. It didn't gel for me, that death scene.
I guess we'll talk about it when we get to our decisions. When we discuss our decisions straight up. You mentioned the quality of the subtitles. I've been playing with subtitles on for the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I have too. But the one thing I've noticed is that now that... first of all, the subtitles are done really well in this game, and I think they're actually pretty important. Because there are times where you don't... like, some action is happening or whatever, and you want to hear what people are saying. This is a dialogue-driven story.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The other thing is that they've actually gone and color coded the subtitles, which I thought was really nice.
And the delivery method, the speed at which they deliver them, is kind of it's impactful.
Yes. So as a result, I've started turning on subtitles. And I turned in subtitles in Enslaved.
I don't know if I had them on for that. Actually.
I just turned them on. I kind of like it now. It feels right to have them on in most games now. But they are done really well here. The other thing I kind of wrote was that the game I'm playing, we're both playing on Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
The game has achievements, which I understand if you're an Xbox game.
Pretty sure the Steam and PS3 versions have achievements too.
Yeah, I don't know if the Steam ones are as intrusive as the Xbox ones.
It's intrusive because you haven't turned them off.
Okay, but in the, I don't know, the achievements for every chapter so far have been completely like, you're going to get them. They're just free points.
No, that's what they are.
Yeah, and there is no achievement that is not... like, if you beat a chapter, you've gotten every achievement for that chapter.
Episode, yeah. Chapter 2. Like, honestly, I only treat... The way I treat achievements is, like, I'm not really chasing achievements. They're more of a record of what I've done.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, I understand that you have to have it, but it almost seems unnecessary.
Turn them off. I've turned them off before. I turned them off in L.A. Noire.
Yeah, I think I'm going to turn them off. They don't necessarily give anything away because you get them after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm just...
It does break from the action.
I don't want to risk it.
But speaking of things that might break from the action is the reminder text, like when somebody so-and-so remembered. And this fucking... dude, this got me. Like, that whole sequence with Duck when he's, like, thinks he's Robin, or he thinks he's Robin.
He thinks he's Dick Grayson or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, because I said, yeah, sure. But when you have the option to high-five him, first of all, I think more high-fiving should happen in absolutely everything in the world.
Yeah, I mean.
But Duck thinks you're super awesome, or Duck thinks you're incredibly awesome. I think it was incredibly awesome.
I think I wrote it down verbatim here. It was,
maybe I got incredibly awesome. No, I got
super awesome. Duck thinks you're super awesome.
You think you might be right, but, yeah, that was, that was awesome.
It was awesome, and you know what? It's obviously just in there for the hell of it, because, like,
10 minutes afterwards, Duck gets bitten, and then he's not a character.
There were some other things in here that were pretty funny. I'm struggling to remember them off the top of my head, but there were some things in this segment where I definitely thought were pretty cute.
A lot of times, it's just like blank will remember that or remember the decision you made.
Oh no, this is the first time there's been
color commentary.
Reminder text that was like that. But anyway,
now
I think we're.
I do want to talk about one thing. This is important, John.
It's not.
One of the criticisms I've actually read about the series at this point, because of the third title, right, is that there's a lot of people complaining that no matter what decision you make in the end, like the fate of certain, like it all sort of comes to a pass, right? There's regardless of, we both did different things in episode 1, 2, and 3, but Duck and Katya still die.
Well, yeah,
and
but the
Carly
thing...
and or Doug will both eventually die. Just where they die is different. And a lot of people are concerned now that the end of the game will really not be based on your decisions.
Oh, my God. So you're saying it's a video game.
Yeah.
No, not you saying this. But, like, here's the thing. If you're playing this in a fucking vacuum, no big deal.
Exactly.
And here's the same thing as the Mass Effect argument. Listen, video games are essentially a fucking... I'm trying to, like, draw something on the wall here.
Really struggling with this, aren't you?
Video games are a pyramid, or a diamond, right? In that everybody starts out at basically the same fucking point. In games like this, where you can have lots of fucking choices, you branch out really far to the left and the right. At the end of the day, they gotta bring you back to this, because you can't have unlimited fucking... You can't have unlimited endings. You literally don't... Like, nobody has the development ability to do that.
Well, I mean... In small doses, yes, you can, the development effort versus the reward for doing that is so... Could you imagine if they had to voice act, like, let's say this game branched out into 9 different endings. They'd have to voice act 9 different story paths.
It's not just that. There's so many choices. And the last game that did this... Okay, so Dragon Age, the first Dragon Age, you get the... You get the Animal House ending. Like, so-and-so went on to do this. Text, you know? You get,
sure.
You know, and, like, from what I understand, I still haven't gone back and done the Mass Effect 3 extended content, but it's essentially that. And that's all, like, literally, that's basically what you can do. That they are still, like, letting... crafting each major event to the story, to something you've chosen... I don't know. I feel like that's good enough for me.
We're also jumping the gun here because we don't know what they're going to do.
That's a good point. The thing is, if we played this in a vacuum, first of all, I'm not upset about it at all. If you played this game in a vacuum, if we played this before the internet era, like, yeah, you wouldn't fucking know. You'd be content. So it's almost like you only. I don't know. I don't feel like these are necessarily valid complaints.
No, I mean, I also feel like other games have cheated this in the past, right? Other games are linear up until the very end where they, here's a 3-pronged decision, feed you an ending, right?
Yeah.
Which is even more of a cheat most of the time because you played their story up until the end and only then did it become a choice.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a valid complaint at all, but I just, you know,
maybe it's just not a realistic want from people.
I also think it's too premature. I think when we get to the end, we'll be able to make that determination.
Yeah, and at the
end of the day, we're all still enjoying this video game. You know, it's like video game.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're all enjoying it.
And as far as the preview for next month, dude, and you know the little. Kicker there at the end with the radio.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did not expect it to go in that direction. Although I thought there would be, like, I felt like the walkie-talkie was going to be relevant again.
I want to know what the fucking, what the intention is on the person on the other end of that fucking radio.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary as
fuck. Well, we're going to find out, aren't
yeah.
we?
So
it's drinking game time.
We don't have any booze left.
That's okay. It's for our viewers at home, John. We can't be greedy.
It's for our viewers who have the video feed.
The video feed.
That's for premium subscribers. So did you shoot the girl in the street?
John?
You didn't.
I did not shoot her.
I shot her. I'm a person.
All right. Well, feelings. I guess if we what's the rule? If we did the same thing, we drink.
I think so. We might change that every week.
Okay.
So take a drink.
Take a drink.
No, don't.
No,
take a
don't
drink.
Take. Or do what you're going to do. Anyway. Yeah,
no, don't take a drink.
Don't take a drink.
Right. Did you abandon Lily?
John, I did not leave her.
Are you serious?
No.
Dude, fuck you. Are you kidding me?
I did not. I really did not.
Oh, leave dude.
Her.
Yo, fuck you.
I've been a paragon this entire time.
No, that's not a paragon decision. That's a fucking punk ass decision. Fuck that. Did you fight Kenny?
I want to preface this with saying, like, I didn't know what the hell was going on during that scene.
Because you can't talk to people. I didn't fight him.
I fought him.
I know you did.
But I didn't mean to.
Because you can't relate to people.
I really did not mean to fight him, and then it happened.
Did you shoot Duck? I shot Duck.
I did not shoot Duck.
I shot Duck.
Man, we're going to have some drunk
and
listeners.
So this is... I put this in the notes. So pulling the trigger on Duck was one of the most powerful moments I've ever had in a video game. And this is about a month after I've had one of the most powerful, you know, moments I've ever had in video games. Like this, dude, that they actually make you hit a button to do it is
right.
Fucking wow. Like I wish I, cause like I made that decision and they were like, well, you made that decision. You actually have to fucking do this now. And that was... I'm almost glad that it wasn't a right trigger pull, that it was hitting the A button. If that makes any fucking sense.
Yeah.
Like, wow, dude. That was hard.
Can
that
I tell you
rough.
Something, by the way? I'm noticing that of these decisions that you and I made, this is the one that is the most polarized. Because I
it's,
got...
It's not the most polarized. It's
quite... Or least, rather. Least, sorry. Yeah. Because... I only sided with 19% of players.
Yeah, or
chose not
I guess
to shoot
it was slightly
him.
Different because it's seven. I shot with 79%, so it's obviously very.
I mean,
bit
the
then.
Numbers go up and down.
Yeah,
but every and this is a comment we had on number two. Every other number is sort of in the middle,
which I think
is good. I think
to them,
in,
I don't
in,
know
the,
that first well, one was only 37.
Well, in well, yeah, that's true. Although mine is more like 60-40 by the time I did it.
But honestly, besides the shooting Duck one, the rest of them I didn't agree with the masses. I went against the masses.
I seem to have sided with them for the most part.
And did you help Omid?
I did.
And I helped the girl.
Okay. I don't like the girl. She's a bitch.
Because you don't like strong, independent women.
No, I don't like accusatory cunts.
You don't like strong, independent women. You heard it here first, folks. Anyway... next week's Game Club is Shenmue.
Yay!
We'll be right back.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. A real gangster-ass nigga plays his cards right. A real gangster-ass nigga never runs his fucking mouth, cause real gangster-ass niggas don't start fights. And niggas always got a hot cap. Showing all his boys how he shot him. But real gangsta ass niggas don't flex nuts, cause real gangsta ass niggas know they got him. And everything's cool in the mind of a gangster, cause gangsta ass niggas think deep. Up 365 at your 24/7, cause real gangsta ass niggas don't sleep. And all I gotta say to you wannabe cocksucker pussy pranksters is when the fire dies down, what the fuck you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Back.
John, this felt like a good episode.
It felt like a long episode.
It's really long.
It isn't, though. But I'm looking at the fucking clock.
I think
here,
we've
man.
Been
it's
very we've been very enthused with what we've been talking about this episode. Like,
so
we're all very happy.
Yeah. Anyway, I just mentioned next week's Game Club is Shenmue. Next week's Game Club is a very special. Or sorry, next
well the Game Club will be special within the context of the very special episode we are doing now.
The episode is the Dreamcast anniversary episode.
Boner Nanza.
Yeah. Dreamcast Boner Nanza. 13 years of Dreamcast. 9/9/99.
Lucky
the U.S. Anniversary.
Dreamcast is, I think, without a doubt, my favorite system.
It's almost just surreal to me to see it on my fucking TV with, you know, it's the Dreamcast logo in the upper left, and then in the upper right, it says September 4th, 2012. It's like, what?
When I first, let me tell you, when I first plugged in my Dreamcast and it asked you to set the clock, and the default option is like 98.
Yeah, yeah. I'm playing it with the VGA box too, so it looks a little bit crisper. I'm getting it, you know, 640 by 480.
I mean, it looks a little bit crisper, but it's still like vomiting in your own
eyes. No. It's 480p. Actually, you're seeing 480.
Let me tell you this much.
You're basically seeing 360 or 340.
Let me tell you this much. Even on my shitty, you know, regular standard VGA connection for the,
RCA.
Still looks better than my Wii.
Still looks better than most Wii games. But anyway, next week, all Dreamcast, all the time, Shenmue in the Game Club.
If you want to talk about something else, you're fucking out of luck.
Yeah. So if you want to call us, leave us a message, anything about Dreamcast stuff, 720-HOODIE-6.
And for those of you who are illiterate, that is 720-466-3436.
Yeah, tell us your Dreamcast memories, your Dreamcast hopes, your Dreamcast fears.
Your dream dreams.
Dreamcast dreams. You can email us at letters@fantasticneighborhood.com.
Also a good option. Or you can just hit us up on Facebook. And you find us at facebook.com/Dreamcast. Fantastic Neighborhood.
Dreamcast.com.
So, John, community segment.
Yes, we have one
bit, but it's a juicy bit. Zach Zimmerman, I think this is a new listener, new writer at least, writes us.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What are your thoughts on the Paragon stuff in the new patch for Diablo 3? I thought we got away. Every time we get away, they pull us back in, John. John, do you know what the Paragon stuff is before we start talking about it?
Dude, I don't know how I'm gonna with a straight face, walk into Torchlight 2 without actually finishing Diablo 3.
you don't need to. So the Paragon is, after you hit level 60, which is the level cap in the game, Paragon becomes another thing that
you can
level.
Are you at 60? I forget.
Oh, yeah, I'm at 60.
Okay, I got bored with listening to you.
I really haven't touched the game in forever. And by forever, I mean like a month. But so the Paragon levels are, once you hit 60, you become a Paragon. And then you have a separate leveling track from 0 to 100. And as you level Paragon, you gain level stat bonuses within the game. Now, once you hit level 60, you have access to every item within the game. But Paragon is statistical bonuses that give you an edge over someone who's not as high a Paragon level as you.
Did they launch the PvP thing yet?
No. Which is a point I've been making for quite a while with some people. So here's the thing. Diablo 3 is a fine game if you really want to go down that path.
But it's a great 3 out of 5.
Yeah, but there's some stuff that's missing, and it feels like they attacked the wrong thing with the Paragon levels. Basically, people they designed a game that people could max out their character on within a short time period.
Well, and several hundred hours.
No, not even. Really, only...
One character. Okay.
One character, right? And once you hit that, the game becomes a grind for items. And what's the point of grinding for items? All it does is allow you to find other items easier and...
I don't know, bro.
Beat the game easier.
What's the point of me going to the toy capsule machine in Shenmue and trying to get every fucking toy capsule in the Shenmue game?
Well, you can't because you need internet connection to do so.
To get all of them?
Yeah. You need to actually go through the passport to get a couple of the secret ones.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Alright, anyway.
Can we start a Shenmue server? Does that seem like something that's possible? If anybody knows anything about this, email me at john@fantasticneighborhood.com. I want to set up a Shenmue server.
Anyway, so yeah, the Paragon stuff is... It's cute, but it just feels like a stopgap solution till they actually get PvP or something worthwhile to actually make it so that you can utilize that gear for something other than just beating the game faster.
All right, let's talk about how crazy a week we're gonna have coming up here soon. Jesus Christ. So the week of September 18th is like the worst week in the world. First of all, Friday, September 14th is when that team that's remaking Half-Life 1 in the Half-Life 2 in Source, in the you know, Source Engine, Black Mesa, they're releasing that on the 14th. I think that's free. I'm going to fuck around with that a little bit.
Yeah, but you're not going to fuck around with it for long.
Because September 18th is Borderlands 2, which we bought in on a 4-pack.
Yes, we did.
Better get your mics working on your fucking computers.
You better buy one, is what you mean.
I'm going to play with a 360 controller, so I think I can just plug the mic into the bottom.
I'm just going to have to buy a headset.
So, yeah, that's happening on the 18th. And then the 20th?
Is Torchlight 2.
What a bunch of cunts.
I called this last week. I knew this was going to happen.
You know what's coming out the 19th, right?
No.
Jet Grind Radio. the worst week in the world.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
How does this happen? Like, we're struggling for shit to play.
And then
I'm not
everything.
Struggling for shit to play. I have 160 games I need to play. But fuck.
Don't they know?
Don't they know those are the only three things you want in the world, Fred?
Oh, God. It's good. I'm just going to have to play through all those games.
If I were you, I would take some time off of work.
I'm going to be honest with you. As much as I've hyped it up, I think Torchlight 2 is going to be secondary.
Absolutely.
Borderlands, I need to play while people are playing.
Borderlands is going to be what we play, I think. If I had a Vita, man, I'd probably play Jet Grind Radio. Oh, wait, the Vita version doesn't come out until mid-October.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Also, if they figured out how to make the gameplay, only 15 minutes at a time.
So, not only that, on top of all these releases, like, I'm going on vacation at the end of, or at the beginning of October.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Guest host.
Guest hosts.
Anyway.
You going to have Eddie on?
Anyway, what else do we usually say here?
I think we give our Twitter handles normally.
Yeah, nobody follows us anyway. I'm Hey John Anderson.
I'm Proto Addict.
And the show is at Fantastic Hood.
Yeah, follow us. Make us friends. And rate us on iTunes for the love of shit.
For the love of shit. If you haven't rated us on iTunes, rate us on iTunes. But I guess that about does it, right?
Yeah, if you need any, for all your articles and linking needs, you can check us out on fantasticneighborhood.com, where our new YouTube channel is.
Yeah, and if you know how to set up a Shenmue server, private message me.
Shenmue server.
A victim of your crime.
Trapped in the air.
The whole reason people ever say it's religion is because they don't know the fucking answer.
They don't know the answer, right? But it's just like, oh my God, it angered me so much to hear that.
You were beside me. It's true, I want you. You rewind me. But you can't give me any more time. So I will fall flat, a victim of your crime. It's all gone.
So do you want to do every? Do you want to do the intro? Just you kick it off.
Hey, and welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 29.
Grumble,
grumble, grumble, grumble. This is the cranky episode.
Grumblefish.
Rabble, rabble, rabble. We'll be right back with Consumption Junction.
No, no, that's not enough.
Damn it!
Intro.
All right, let's start over then.
No, let's keep going.
I don't want to keep going. That was perfect the way it is. Fucking do it live.
All right, we can redo that.